I pray that you had a wonderful time celebrating the birth of Jesus, the Christ Mass, the last couple days. But now here we are, just a few days shy of New Year's Eve. And what I want to talk about today is the escape. Now, while we continue our celebration of the birth of Christ up until Epiphany, we acknowledge that the visit of the Magi that we celebrated last Sunday, this Sunday we can't overlook the one of the most tragic scenes from Scripture, which we call the Massacre of the Innocents. Wow. Now here's the timeline, and it blurs just a little bit as today's Scripture occurs. Approximately a year or two after Jesus' birth, the family is visited by several magi who came looking for the child after identifying a sign that a Jewish Messiah and King of Israel had been born. Unknowingly, stopping by to see Herod in Jerusalem along the way to inquire the location of the child, the Magi had not realized the state of the king's intense paranoia and fear of being displaced. And they quickly caught on. Promising to return with confirmation of the child's whereabouts, the Magi set out to follow the mysterious light in the sky. Oh yeah, once they reached the family, not only did they offer gifts and their respect, but they warned of what Herod would do if he found their homestead. Following the Magi's departure, Joseph once again is guided by God in a dream to take his family to Egypt. Joseph complied, and we learn that Jesus' family will stay in the area of Egypt most likely for 1 to 3 years until the death of Herod. Until yet another dream tells him, "Okay, Joseph, it's safe. You can go home now." Still an untrusting Archelaus, Herod's son, who is now ruler in Judea, Joseph declines to return his family to their ancestral home, but instead he goes on to settle his wife and son in Mary's family hometown of Nazareth. There, they will raise their son under the radar, so to speak, until he's ready to embark on his own. Meanwhile, that furious that he was outsmarted by Magi, Herod's tempter flared. Oh, he got so mad. Yeah, he was unstable and prone to persecution and violence, and Herod immediately ordered an edict that all children in the area of Bethlehem 2 years old or under be brutally killed. His soldiers carried out that order, can you believe it, to the horror of the people of the day. And now while the child Jesus rested safely under Egyptian cover, and while his cousin John's mother Elizabeth likely took her son into the wilderness too, as some believe, to be raised by the Essenes. You know, the Essenes is where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, over in the area where the Essenes were. But I digress. Hundreds of babies and toddlers were cut down before they ever could reach their youth. Yet no matter how hard Herod tried, no matter how sure he was of his control and reach, he had not put out the fire of God's prophecy. You know why? No one could. That's why. Because Jesus was alive and God's plan was already underway. Now, the prophet Hosea speaks of God calling Israel, God's son, out of Egypt to save them not only from their servanthood but from themselves, for they succumbed to the culture of pagans. God speaks through Hosea, and being moved by compassion for the people of Israel and vows to return them home, to guide them back into the fold, if you would, and to restore their lives from sin and error. Soon, a new covenant would be formed, praise be to God, and at this time, God would prevail despite human error. God had a foolproof plan that he would carry it out himself. Now, here we are with Matthew, and Matthew assures us as we see Jesus returning home to Israel, where he will develop and grow and learn and mature. God once again had called son Israel home. Jesus born to be the Savior of the people. Emmanuel, God with us, will represent all of Israel and will carry out God's saving mission in time and in flesh. So within 3 years' time, the Lamb of God, collective representative of all of Israel, will be taken upon him the sins of the world. All the sins of the world. He will be crucified for all the sins of all the people in the world. He will purge them through the sacrifice of his flesh. He will declare the world forgiven. What will die with Jesus are the past debts of the people. Now, they could be restored to God wholly and fully, wiped clean of their past transgressions, and resurrected to a new beginning. For God cannot be destroyed, and anyone who tries will only stumble against the foundation, which is Christ. Despite the fact that Matthew likes to make things fit, the scriptures help us understand the roots of God's love and long-standing hope that someday humanity would be fully restored to God, and more importantly to each other, because no matter how many times we failed, no matter how many times our faith has evaporated, God's faith in us has never wavered. God has never wavered and gave up on us. No, Jesus, not alive in Nazareth, would become a Nazarene, the righteous branch. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. The living green shoot, if you would, within a dead stump of Jesse, who will revive the people and revitalize their faith. Escaping death himself, he proves that nothing, no hurdle, no roadblock, no stumbling stone, or even defiance, not even death, it's impossible for God to overcome. Yeah, troubles may come, opposition will rise, but God always wins. Amen? So as we approach this brand new year, 2026, we know that we too will encounter troubles. Challenges, tragedies, even acts of evil, both personal and communal. Yet, Jesus' birth and God's persistent victories remind us that nothing can extinguish the living and breathing Spirit of Christ or God's message of love, hope, grace, and forgiveness and reconciliation. No, this knowledge is the wellspring of our faith. God's blessed assurance is the origin of our joy. So, throughout the scriptures, whenever the Jewish people experienced bouts of joy and recognized the blessings that God had bestowed upon us, even in the midst of turmoil and darkness, they danced. In fact, dancing has been a vital part of worship for as long as history informs us. So, worshiping God is not static or solemn occasion, but it's a celebration. With music and instruments and singing and dancing, movement and motion express above all joy. Joy that no matter what mistakes we make, no matter how badly we fail, no matter how long it takes us to return to the fold, that God is there, just waiting to take us into His arms and welcome us home. You know the parable of the prodigal son. We concentrate on that, and it's a wonderful thing. But let me tell you who was the central figure of that parable. Ah, you figured it out. It was the Father. God, the Father who welcomes us home. So today, I want to invite you to celebrate. Do a little dance of joy, if you would. I like to dance. I'm not good at it, but I like to dance, and even in the midst of our most ardent and difficult mourning, that God offers hope. Worshiping God with commitment and joy doesn't mean that we will never experience sorrow. No, it doesn't mean that we don't take time for mourning. No, as the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us, old Solomon, I love Solomon, we need to make time for that too. There is a time for everything, if you remember that litany in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. But, you know, I like the buts and the ifs. We also know that no matter how deep the darkness, that joy comes in the morning. For the light of God has come into the world, and nothing can ever extinguish it. Now, if you're able, and if you will join us in a circle later on in the aisle in the sanctuary, we will have that wonderful time together of holding hands and ask God to continue to bind us together, and we will dance with joy if you want, or just sing out. Well, anyhow, it's a wonderful thing to come together for this week between Christmas and New Year's and to experience the love of God, because we already have faith, or not only faith, yeah, we have faith, but we have history on our side too, that we know all this stuff has happened, that Jesus died and he was crucified, dead and buried, and the third day he rose from the dead, breaking that bondage over sin and death. That's what Satan was holding us over. I say us because all humanity. And now it's been broken, because Jesus paid the price with his own blood and was raised from the dead. And the veil in the temple was rent in two, giving us direct access to God Almighty. If you've never made that decision to accept Christ in your life, I pray that you will. Just take a moment. It's a simple prayer for simple people. God, I know I'm a sinner, and I realize now I need a Savior. And if you're everything that they say that you are, then I want you to come into my life and be Lord over it. And I can assure you there will be some amazing things start to take place in your life as you then grow in grace. Your joy will also lower your blood pressure. Did you know that? Yeah. And assure you of the amazing blessings of God. And God is just waiting for us to enter into your life. Not only in 2026, but right now. And then for all the years of your life. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Happy New Year. God loves you, and so do we.